Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
We're in week two of a series we're calling Normal. And normal's taken on a whole new meaning, hasn't it? It's interesting, as we're worshiping, two of the songs that we sang, and these songs were selected two or three weeks ago that we're going to sing this morning, had the word atmosphere in it. God changed the atmosphere. God filled the atmosphere. And a couple of levels, both in terms of COVID-19, but also in terms of the spiritual atmosphere of our country, of our world, and everything that's going on. Last week we looked at how the normal Christian life is about following Jesus, and how it always begins there. Today we want to look at how the normal Christian life is also about Jesus, but how the Spirit of the living God works in us and through us by the power of His Holy Spirit. Normal Christian life begins with Jesus, no matter what our age, young or old, or male, female, rich, poor, no matter the color of our skin or our birthplace, none of those things matter. We begin the life of faith. We begin the Christian life in exactly the same way. We come to faith in Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And it's only through God's Holy Spirit changing us, transforming us from the inside out, are we enabled to live as God wants us to live. And so this morning, I want to unpack a little bit of Ephesians chapter 5. It's a key passage of scripture for understanding something of the work of God's Spirit in our lives. So we're going to go through it fairly quickly, and then we'll get into some specifics. I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning, and we'll just put some key phrases up on the screen. But Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Paul says, "Imitate God. Imitate God in everything you do because you're His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." Love is always other-focused. And that's why in this age of COVID-19, and where we've canceled multiple events, and we see things happening all over the place, and we change our greeting, our offering time, that's all out of love for our brothers and sisters. We don't want to unintentionally spread the virus. That's why we've encouraged those with weaker immune systems, those with health issues, to stay away from our gathering. That's why we have followed the Ministry of Health guidelines of continuing to meet, because there's no more than 250 in a gathering. And we're going to continue to monitor that decision and make further decisions. Then Paul goes on, he lists some things that, if we're living this life of love, if we're imitating God, these are things that should not be part of our lives. Verse 3, "Let there be no sexual immorality or impurity or greed among you." That includes toilet paper. Another stuff that gets hoarded in our world these last few days. "Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, they're not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral or impure or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world." Verse 6, "Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse their sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey Him. Don't participate in the things these people do." And then there's this contrast between those who are not following and those who follow. Verse 8, "For once you were full of darkness, but now, if you're in Christ, you are you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." Carefully, verse 10, "Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. That's why it said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Verse 15, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise, making the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then there's the key phrase I want to focus on this morning. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's that mean? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we've got our ideas and our thoughts about what that means, but sometimes it actually helps to look at the actual grammar. What's the structure say? The words here are in the imperative mood. So that means this isn't a casual suggestion or an opinion that Paul is making to the church. It's a command. It's in the same category as all the other commands that fill the book of Ephesians. And there are literally dozens of commands there. And the imperative mood means it demands obedience. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's also in the plural. You be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul's writing to the body of believers, to the church, not just to a couple of individuals. He's writing to the saints, it says in verse 1 of chapter 1 in Ephesus. That's part of the problem with our English language, isn't it? We use the same word you to mean you, Ryan, and you meaning all of you. And in our individualistic culture, we tend to focus on the individual meeting. Maybe we should become Texans for this morning, you all. And that's the intent of what Paul is saying. It encompasses all of us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, as the body of Christ, as the church are to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. It's also in the passive voice. The verse says, be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say, fill yourself up with the Spirit. It says, be filled. It's God who fills us with His Spirit. But in order to be full of His Spirit, that means I need to empty the stuff that blocks the Spirit. You know, I can't be filled with God's Spirit if I'm walking around with known and unconfessed sin in my life. I can't be filled with God's Spirit if I'm trying to live in my own energy and my own strength and my own wisdom and make no room for God to speak. I can't be filled with God's Spirit if I'm knowingly walking against God's way. And then the last thing, it's in the present tense. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled is not a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's not just a great mountaintop experience where you have this awesome experience of being in God's presence. No, it's ongoing. Lord, fill me with your Spirit for today. Lord, fill me with your Spirit as we face this challenge around COVID-19. You know, Jesus said something very, very similar, used totally different expression in John 15. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The only way that the branches continue to live is they remain connected to the vine. You know, spring is coming. We will see some new growth coming. And you'll start to see branches on a tree, and they start to little buds form and then blossoms. And you know what? You can cut that branch off and it will continue to bud and grow for a short period of time. But eventually it'll wither and die because there's no life. And sometimes we think, well, I'm not full of God's Spirit, but are we? Or have we disconnected ourselves from what God's doing? And it may look like things are happening, but are we really listening or being obedient? Are we abiding? Are we keep on being connected, allowing God to ongoingly fill us? Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. See, this thing we call living the Christian life, the normal Christian life, is not simply I pray and then things go on as they were. No, it's about becoming and being a follower, a disciple, one who walks with Jesus, walks in step with His Spirit. It's about learning to live empowered by God's Spirit. You know, we showed a clip from God's Godspell last Sunday. And that quote, the song Day by Day, which is taken from Sir Richard Chichester, 13th century. I want to see thee more clearly. I want to love thee more dearly. Follow thee more nearly. Is that our heart? Is that our passion? Is that our prayer? And so if we're in that place where we are being filled with God's Holy Spirit, what's that look like? Well, Paul gives us some hints in Ephesians 5, following verse 18 to 21. He says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Lord. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit fills us, it affects how we speak. When we're filled with God's Spirit, we relate to one another in new and in deeper ways. We listen to what one another is saying. We listen to what people are not saying. We build each other up. We don't attack people. Not only our words, but how we use our words are impacted by God's Spirit. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 15, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You're defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. And one of the signs that God's Spirit is filling you is the way you speak. The way you speak with others, the way you speak to others, the way we speak about others. Spirit's filling affects how we worship. The Spirit of God opens our hearts and moves us into an overflow of worship. Now, you know I am not, nor will I ever be a singer on one of our worship teams. You know, Glenn and our other sound guys know, during worship time, make sure Pastor's mic is turned off. You know, that's a requirement. You gotta shut him off. But you know what? That's never gonna stop me from worshiping. You know, I love the verse in the psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, I believe God's Holy Spirit auto-tunes our voices, so by the time it gets up to God, He hears my voice right on tune. We live in an age where entertainment reigns supreme, where we watch worship. In Jesus, we enter into worship. We celebrate. We sing. We lift our voices because the Spirit of the living God fills us. We enter into worship for the audience of one, for our Lord, for our God. And then that worship is not restricted to Sunday morning. I believe there's something powerful that takes place as we gather together to worship. But that is to be an overflow of our worship during the week. How we worship when we're alone. In that time of intimacy that we have, where we're talking to our Lord, where we're lifting up praises, where you have some quiet music on that just enables you to enter into praising the Lord. Spirit's filling makes us thankful people. One of the clear signs that God's Spirit is filling a person is gratitude, giving thanks. Show me a grumbler, and I'll show you a person who's distanced themselves from the Spirit. I don't believe that we can be grumbly people with the Spirit of God within us. When we understand all that we have, when we understand all of who we are because of Jesus, that overflows into thankfulness. The Spirit's leading. Also, the Spirit's filling also leads us into submitting to one another. When we're filled with God's Spirit, we have a servant heart. There's a humility about us that considers others. Submission and service are part of the recognition that God is at work in us. You know, we wrestled this week with, you know, canceling men's breakfast and women's breakfast and coffee. But it's all about what's best for the most vulnerable among us. And that's what submission and service is about. Am I willing to do that for others? Am I willing to have my eyes open to see what's around me? You know, in this age of COVID-19 and canceling of all the large events, we need to explore fresh ways of being able to minister and be able to connect. I don't know about you, but I took great encouragement by the video that went around this week of people in Italy going out on their balconies and singing to one another and just celebrating in the midst of being in isolation. You know, as Maureen mentioned earlier, you know, look around. See who's not here, or the people in your circle. You know, call, text, send them an email, write them a letter. I don't know, stand on your porch and sing. And if somebody says they're wacko, I'll stand up and say, yeah, they're part of OCC. Our crazy church. You know, buy a gift certificate for your favorite restaurant that's not being able to do business right now. Find ways to meet outside. Share your hand sanitizer and your toilet paper. Let's find ways to bless one another, to encourage one another. Live imaginatively, not fearfully. You know, we live in a time, a day where, over these next few weeks, months, we don't know how long, we're going to get a chance to prove our values, to show how we really are, not just how we pretend to be. And I pray that we'll live wisely and mercifully and kindly as we let God's Spirit change us and transform us and work on us. How are we going to arise to the occasion and out of concern for our neighbors? Will we protect the vulnerable, even if they're strangers to us? Will we love our neighbors as ourselves? You know, we live in an age when businesses are going through financial struggles. But, you know, think of the people who clean rooms in hotels and their hours are being cut. People are working minimum wage and hours are being cut. People who are homeless or living just above the poverty line who are very, very vulnerable. How will we embody God's grace and love and concern as we come alongside? Paul prays in Ephesians 3 that we, all of us, may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may have the full content, the entirety, the whole sum, all that God is, that would fill us, the person of Jesus Christ himself. And we don't have time to walk through all of those dimensions this morning. But what does it look like? What does it look like when we're being filled with God's Spirit? I think life in the Spirit is characterized by all that Jesus is and all that Jesus does and all that Jesus wants in our lives as individuals and as a church. And so as you read the Gospels and you see what Jesus did, that's what I believe he wants us to do today. And that includes loving our neighbor. That includes loving the person who bought the last two grocery cart loads of toilet paper. How do we love a person like that? Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered ministry is Christ-centered ministry. It's Jesus working in us and through us by the power of his Holy Spirit. It's a ministry that brings Jesus' love, Jesus' grace to others. And it's so important in a world where so many people are freaking out. That's so important in a world where people are so isolating themselves. And I don't mean socially distancing, which is that a healthy thing that we're talking about, but isolating themselves in the sense of cutting themselves off from others. How do we be careful and yet not distance? What does it mean not to live in fear in this day and age? The Spirit equips and empowers us for service. And what the Spirit does in us is not just for my own personal, for selfish or private interest, but it bears witness to the incarnate, risen Christ, the one who offers hope to a world which is so desperate for hope. And God will work that in so many different ways, because the way God's Spirit works in Angela is different than how the Spirit's going to work in Ed, and how the Spirit's going to work in Maureen. And that's good, because there's so many different people that we rub shoulders with and come into contact with and talk with. And God uses the uniqueness of our personality and character, but fills that with his Spirit so that he can spread the good news. Life in the Spirit results in life change. When the Spirit is at work in our lives, both as individuals and as people, we see reconciliation being effective. We see unity being guarded without crushing spontaneity. We see community that grows deep and honest. We see ongoing discipleship, learning to follow Jesus in ever fresh and new ways, having a high place. We see God's love controlling our attitudes. We see worship that's alive and real. We see God's gifts, the spiritual gifts that He gives us, being used for the building up of the body of Christ and for ministry to our neighborhood and to the world. We see people being built up in obedience to Christ. We see growth towards maturity. See, but none of that happens all on our own. None of it happens all on our own. It's only when as we're part of God's family, His body, His church, and not just OCC, but the church here in Orillia, the one church that exists here. And also we recognize the Spirit doesn't give us complete fullness in this world of time and space. What the Spirit does is sort of the first installment of God's future. The Spirit is the guarantee of being forever in God's presence. And the life we have now and God's filling now is only a foreshadowing of all that God has in terms of His harmony and His love and that final and complete reconciliation and the unending praise and worship in the new heavens and the new earth. One of the things that we've been looking at in the beginning of this year is what's called the Jesus Creed. And I'm going to have a stand and read it in just a moment as the worship team comes forward. But before we do that, let me just pray for us. Father God, we pray for OCC. We pray for the church in this city. We pray for your church in this world. We pray for those in need. We pray especially for those who are most impacted in this extraordinary time of pandemic. God, you are our peace and our strength. We pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. As we face new uncertainties around COVID-19. And Lord, I pray especially to protect the most vulnerable among us. Father, I pray you'd give wisdom and patience and clarity to healthcare workers, especially when their work caring for others puts them at risk. Lord, I pray you'd open the understanding of scientists and lab workers and those in the public health community, that they'll know how to respond as this situation develops and changes. Lead them to increase the medical community's capacity to handle this crisis, to develop vaccines and methods of care that will bring healing and comfort and help to those who are threatened by this virus. Lord, we dare not forget that those who are suffering in a variety of ways. We remember those who are sick and injured and those who wrestle with mental health issues and anxiety and those who are in our long-term care facilities, recuperating from surgery. Lord, minister your healing touch to them. Lord, give us wisdom. Guide us as we respond to the stuff going on around us. Show us how to minister powerfully and effectively to our neighbors, to our extended families, to those in our church families. Give us courage to face these days, not with fear, but with compassion, with concern, with acts of service, knowing that you are with us always. Amen. Amen. Team, come and get ready to lead us. And as they come,
we pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Orillia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.